Sehr geehrte Fahrgäste, willkommen in Salzburg Hauptbahnhof. Ihre nächsten Reisemöglichkeiten.
Termi Tinnitus, das pfeift. termitinnitus.virtualkitchen.org.
Vorsicht, diese Sendung wird abgehört.
We start and this is Rika, he's from Porto and he will tell us something about the revolution, the 30th revolution in Porto. Yeah, he will introduce himself.
Everybody speaks English?
Yes. Okay.
I can, yes. Good. More or less? Okay, yeah. I can say guten Nacht and something. To speak about the revolution is going to be difficult, even in English and in Portuguese, because it's such a rich thing that happened 40 years ago. First, if you want to know something about me, since 1995, I've been in the social movement, first in a Trotskyist party, then because of my ideological reasons and the party grew, I went out. Now I'm in the social movement, working in with a project, working with anarchists in the city of Porto and non-party people. But also sometimes we have to cross when we share experiences, okay? To speak about the revolution, I will try to be... Oh, shit. It's the hack activist calling me.
It's the revolution call.
Yeah, they... Yeah, because maybe some people don't know
maybe
I am in Austria.
Very, very fast. It's yeah. Revolution.
Maybe there is a revolution this night again. And I'm here. Fuck. I think it's important in some part of this analysis, a very short, I'll try to be as fast as I can, explain you Portugal since the 19th century. Okay? Just because it's important. In the 19th century, in the middle, industrial revolution, the rise up of capitalism all over Europe, okay? The banks, the finance, the land owners and some industrials, they appearing in this time, we were still a monarchy, okay? They are families and, they are still nowadays with the, rebuilding of bourgeoisie in Portugal, they are still nowadays the owners of Portugal, as we say. There is an interesting book that you see how they marry with each other to maintain their own business. And if you see this big grid, you will find some similarities with the Habsburgs, for example. Okay? But these are especially capitalists. So, we have Portugal growing like this under monarchy, and the first threats, but very, very smooth, it starts in 1910 with the Republic, in Portugal, in 1910. It's a group of Marxists, some few anarchists, that are going to form the first Republican government. We didn't work that well because of political sabotage, also because they didn't get along with each other and, well, this is a theme for another thing. But also a good thing I'm really proud of in Portugal's history is that in 1908, the beginning of the Republic, three anarchists are going to shoot the King of Portugal. They kill him. Also the successor, and with this they can open doors to destroy the monarchy. So we have the Republic is going to endure from 1910 to 1926, okay? In 1926, there is a putsch in Portugal made by the conservative forces. And in the middle of these conservative forces, we have different ideals. There is going to arise a person called António Oliveira Salazar. He's going to be the president, Salazar, of Portugal. He's an economist. He's a person that, for example, says that he don't like politics, but he's going to be in the 30s with the support of the Germans, the German Nazis, Italy, Mussolini, and also it's the same thing, yeah, and also Franco, yeah. So since the 30s, Portugal is an assumed fascist regime. Okay, about fascism, you know, so what happened, and this is going to be in time the largest dictatorship in Europe. Okay, Salazar dies in 1968, and when he dies, there is a new president called Marcelo Caetano. In a way, he's going to start to open a little bit the regime, but this small leak of opening is going to start to open the conditions for the Portuguese Revolution. For example, in 1969, a very politicized student class, especially in the city of Coimbra, they are going to organize strikes. We call the academical crisis. And this is going to be very important in the military coup that originated the revolution. So, the Marxists, especially the Marxist ideals, start to enter in the middle of the students, the working class, and also the peasants, okay? And we reach 1973. Portugal, it's like steaming very slow, but we start to have strikes that start to be repressed. But the main thing that... between many things, the academical crisis and the strikes, is that Portugal was having the war against the national liberation movements in Africa. Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau, Cape Verde, and São Tomé. It's the five last colonies of Portugal. And the problem for the regime is that... what happens, for example, Portugal in 73 had 200,000 soldiers in Africa. This means the double of soldiers that the United States put in Vietnam. So you can imagine the military effort that Portugal start to do, and this is going to create conditions. Lots of people were not happy with their own people fighting in a war, of course. But there is another interesting thing with this raise of soldiers. The army, because of its hierarchy, they have to raise the hierarchy of the soldiers. And many of these soldiers in 73 and 74, okay, they were young people who participated in the academical struggle in 1969. So we are talking about soldiers belonging to the Portuguese army that many of them suddenly, they are raised to captains. So we are talking about soldiers and revolutionaries at the same time. So it's among them that they start to prepare a putsch. And this putsch, now this is the beautiful part of it. In the night of the 24th of April till the 25th of April, okay, they were organized in different 15 headquarters along the country, okay? And there is a group of them. We have to remember that no cell phones, no nothing. So the way of communicate was very original at that time. So they are going to invade the national radio, okay? And they are going to put a song, a forbidden song, because of censorship. The ambience in Portugal... At those times, I know people that are 50 or 60 years old, and at those times, they tell me that they had the discs very well hidden, and they listened to the musics, the revolutionary musics that the refugee singers that were in France used to play. But the song, which is the anthem of the revolution, it's called Grandola Vila Morena. This song, it's a song that starts with people, with the sound of people marching. Okay, like in a demonstration. And then they start to say something. It has no music. It's only sang. And it's more or less like, Grandola Vila Morena. and land of fraternity, land of freedom. So it was a forbidden song. So when the soldiers listen this song on the radio, they know that this was the sign. So on the rest of the headquarters, the militaries, they are going to the generals, to the big officers. They are going to take the headquarters all over Portugal. And the last place was in Lisbon. And more or less at 5-6 in the morning, okay, they are going to invade a headquarter in the center of Lisbon. And they are going where it was sleeping, the president of Portugal. Okay? Immediately, the president of Portugal, Marcelo Caetano, is going to transfer. He says, okay, let me go away, and I will transfer power to you, but please let me go away. And he went to Brazil, and he never came back. The problem is that at the beginning, it was not exactly, we cannot consider it technically, the 25th of April, the real revolution. Because of the balance of forces between in the armed forces movement, what we call the MFA, okay, there were some really leftist and radical soldiers. There were some more liberal and some more conservative, but everybody together wanted to get rid of the regime. And there is a face, a general called Spinola, that is going to be the first president of Portugal after the 25th of April. The problem of Spinola, for example, he was pro-colonialist. And the program of the armed forces movement that said, let's give independence to the colonies, he removed from it at the beginning. So, till September 1974, they don't have, the revolution is not in a process of real revolution. The beautiful thing is that we know that the Portuguese people was stronger. And the people, they were the ones who made the real revolution. The militaries made the putsch, but the ones who did the revolution was the people. And incredibly, we are talking about a people where we have 40% of the population who didn't know how to read. A population who was afraid of speaking in the streets. A population that didn't know nothing about politics. But when Spinola, in that morning, announces in the radio the putsch, he said, we made a putsch, but stay in your homes. And if you see images of that day in the morning, all the city of Lisbon was full of people. So this is the first sign of disobeyment that the Portuguese people is going to give as a sign that we want a revolution. Well, after this, till September, they tried to do lots of political things. I'm not going to explain you because I have to give you names of complicated things. But basically, Spinola, he tries to ensure his power. And he's going to create a thing that is a movement called the Silent Minority. Okay, there is...
Minority.
No, majority, sorry. I don't know if you can see it. This is the guy in the mouth, it's written Silent Majority, okay? And he's going to say, the Silent Majority, who didn't exist, basically, don't want these confrontations in the streets. Don't want nobody in the streets. So they try to organize a demonstration, but nobody appears. Which was stupid at the same time, but whatever. And after this, so Spinola is going away. He has to leave Portugal. Okay? And he goes to Brazil and he's going to be next again to this guy, Marcelo Caetano. And it's more or less after September that the things fortunately get out of control. So, what we have a government, but it's a government who basically don't have any power to rule. They didn't have money, the bourgeoisie, the capitalists, don't know what to do, the ones who were still there. And what we have, so this is what we can say, the revolution is going to endure basically 19 months till the 25th of November 1975. But I will get there. So basically what we have, it's two different rivers. Okay? We have the river of the institutionalized revolution. So what we have the Socialist Party. Socialist Party was founded in 1973. I don't know if you heard about Mario Soares. No. Good for you. Mario Soares is on the side of Europe. He has these friends from the socialist parties from France, from Germany. He has friends of the CIA who were in Portugal at these times. And also, for example, unclassified documents say that in 74, Soares and the big head of the Socialist Party had meetings with the CIA because they were preparing the counter-revolution. Okay. We also have the two new political parties who are the Social Democratic Party and the Popular Party. So the Social Democratic Party is right-wing and conservative, and the Popular Party is right-wing and more conservative than the Social Democrats, and they are the ones who are in government applying austerity in Portugal. Okay? These two political parties, they come from a liberal sector that exists since 1969 in the Portuguese government, okay, who want also an approach with Europe. So we are talking about liberals, okay? And then we have the fourth party, very important during the resistance, the Communist Party, the Portuguese Communist Party, who had a very important role resisting fascism, lots of people in prison, etc. But the Communist Party, for example, tried to demobilize some strikes that they consider, and I quote, savage strikes. They say that they don't make the exiting Portugal of NATO a political priority. They can live with that, okay? In a way, they can guarantee their institutionalization in the new regime that was trying to appear. This was the one of the rivers. The other one, I think this is the river that we all dream about. It's a dream that we can call it whatever we want. But it's a river that it's going to break the authority of state. The state cannot hold this river. I'm talking about movements of squatting. Talking about people who don't know how to read, who start to squat houses. Also people who start to go out of the barracks and start to unite, make general assemblies, to discuss their new houses that they are going to build. And in common with self-management, learning themselves, okay, they start to take lands, they start to take materials. Later, with the institutionalization, the state gave them the materials, the money to do everything. But especially in the south of Portugal, you have very nice neighborhoods who still exist. And they are really, really nice places where you still can see some of this air of revolution in the people, because they made their own houses in a horizontal way. Okay, they start to build also social services, schools, health centers, starting to make neighborhood associations in the companies where they worked. They start to occupy and squat the factories. They expel the bosses and they squat and they start to execute self-management. Okay. Cooperatives also in the agriculture areas of Portugal. So they start. So in a basic way, yeah, Portugal has always been, because of the political class in the 19th century, more agricultural than industrial, but there are, especially in the area of near Lisbon, Ayon, etc. And what they start to do is, okay, we start to to self-manage our own factories. Okay? So, in a resume, this is a violent rise of a population that was completely invisible during more than four decades. And in days and weeks, and this is for me the most beautiful thing of the revolution, people in days and weeks, automatically, they learn how to make a revolution and how to work in self-management in horizontal ways. And with a political reading that I also like to do, they attacked the system where it hurts more, property. Okay? So, I could tell you very beautiful stories about... there are many, many cases, particularly stories about all of this. There are documentaries, etc., etc. But I still have many things to say. And in a resume, now I will start to explain you how the counter-putsch, how the counter-putsch was started to be built. So, 25 of November 1975. So after 19 months, okay, the government, the state, is going to assume power and later on reorganize all the conditions for the comeback of the bourgeoisie. In 1975, 25 of April, we have elections in Portugal. We'll tell you very quickly, Socialist Party 38%, Communist Party 16.5%, the Radical Left 4%, and the Right Party 34%. There is this new government elected. It's the first time in Portugal in 75 that women vote, only 1975. And then what we have in the armed forces movement that was very important, I forgot to tell you one thing. Why do these strikes succeed? Why do these occupations succeed? Because you have the people going to occupy, to squat a factory, houses, etc. At the beginning, the police tried to repress people. But you had the soldiers, and the soldiers arrived with weapons. No. Okay, so there was this balance. And it's incredible that we have soldiers on the side of the people and on the side of this libertarian river. But, of course, now politics, and I think you will understand quickly, the armed forces movement starts to suffer divisions. And we have different sectors inside the armed force movement. We have the Spinolistas, of the general Spinola, right wing. We had also people from the Socialist Party. We have the Group of Nine, that was the Socialist Party. We have Gonçalvistas, is the name of a guy from the Communist Party. And we have the operational command of the continent. Between commas, these are the good guys. The radicals. Okay? The radicals, they are leaded by a general called Otelo Saraiva de Carvalho, who, for example, in 1973, because the coup, the putsch of 74, is a long plan. And in 1973, Otelo, he said, let's bomb the palace of the presidents. This is written. Okay, and he said, let's bomb. The guy was more... radical, and he was not, I forgot to tell you about the carnations, it's true. The flowers, I don't know, but the beautiful images, it's the soldiers. On the morning of 25 of April, they go with the carnations in the machine guns to say that we are on the side of the people. And now some people are saying bullets instead of carnations with this strike intervention. But Otelo is going to be the more radical. So, next to Otelo, there is a very interesting organization called United Soldiers Will Win that organized big demonstrations. And for example, in September 1975, there is a huge demonstration in Lisbon, okay, of 80,000 people with the soldiers. And during this time, many soldiers, they were arrested. Of this movement. At the end of the demonstration, people start to enter in buses and they go to the jail where the soldiers were arrested. They invade the jail and they free the soldiers again. So these are times of revolution, but at the same time, confrontation of power. So if the people in one side is free and doing their own revolution in the streets, the right and the state starts to accumulate power to prepare the counter-putsch. So they were power and they fought for power. The other side was just simply exercising power, if we can say that. So these forces are going to be stronger in the right wing, also with the betrayal of the Portuguese Communist Party. And I'm going to quote, because I think this is interesting, that in their texts, and I'm going to quote, the Communist Party explains which side they were not. Okay? And they said, the Central Committee of the Communist Party calls the attention for the idealistic illusion that took some sectors to see in this form of popular organization, so the squatting of factories, etc., etc., the future and the next organs of power in state. And we call also the attention for the verbalist theorization about popular power, creating the illusion of existing a political power, a popular political power, in confronting the governmental power. When I explain how it is nowadays, the social movement, the Communist Party nowadays also has the same attitude. They pretend that these new demonstrations that are not controlled by them don't exist. Okay? But we go there. What is curious is that later on, because then there is another counter-putsch, the 25th of November, and in December, in 1976, we have the first presidential elections. The president of Portugal is going to be a general from the right wing, okay? But, for example, it's curious that Otelo, he ran for president and he had 16.5% in these elections, okay? So we get to 1976 with a revolution that ended here, okay? We couldn't go further. And the state is again with the power concentrated in its own hands. But with some differences. Because during 1975, because of all of these movements, when they occupy the factories, the land, etc., the bourgeoisie, these families, these rich families of bankers, etc., etc., all of them leave Portugal. They have to run away. If not, we could have kicked their asses. And this was the mistake, in my opinion. In 1975, also during this period, the state is going to nationalize 90% of the banks. So they go away and the banks are nationalized. So what happens is that we have a state with lots of money because they had the banks. So what is going to happen till 1977? It's a period with the state institutionalized, but also with this power in the streets. And this power in the streets is going to bring us the social conquests that we had. For example, and not only nationalizing almost the main corporations in Portugal, like electricity, oil, also the beer factory, for example, etc., etc. So everything belongs to the state. The state nationalized everything till 1977. Como é que eu digo reforma agrária? Sabes dizer reforma agrária em alemão? Não.
Sorry.
Okay. Also very important, the agriculture reform. I don't know if you understand what it is.
So dividing up the land.
giving up the land.
Yeah, dividing it.
Yeah, dividing it and giving it to the people. Yeah. Okay. So this gave land to more than 40,000 workers, agricultures in Portugal. So what we have till 1977, despite that the state accumulates power, the power in the streets, in the factories, etc., was so strong that the state is going to do the things we want. And the things are going to be okay till 1986. So what starts to happen in 1986? So then the population is okay. We have lots of rights. We conquer lots of rights. These self-management experiences continue in Portugal to exist. So there is a calm down. And then the Portuguese state also applied the typical social democrat technique that, for example, happened in the United States. Let's give bourgeoisie to the people to calm them down. Okay, so they will stay cool. People start to buy cars, start to be okay. Television, color TV appears. Yeah, cool, we are happy, etc. And the population very, very slowly starts to be more alienated and don't care too much about these questions. Even though every year, like this night, it's already happening. We are celebrating the revolution and etc., etc. But 1986, with the Socialist Party in the government, Portugal is going to enter the European Economical Community. When Portugal signs the treaty, Portugal said, also agreed, on being dependent on Brussels. So after this, this is the beginning of the external debt in Portugal. Okay, because they lend us money for highways, we have lots of money. For example, one of the things they did was give money for the agricultures to stop production. And it was so much money that, okay, this is another thing maybe to discuss, but many of them, not the majority, but many of them, they said, okay, lots of money, I will stop producing, I buy a house, buy a good car, and that's it. So the EEC, what served for was to give money to shut up and to calm down this movement. But worse, after this, in the 90s, we have a very important, in the negative way, government. We have the government of the right again, of the Social Democrats, with absolute majority in the parliament, and the prime minister, called Aníbal Cavaco Silva, who is actually now the president, is a liberal that comes from the times of the fascist regime, okay? And he is going to be the person that will open in the constitution and in the law the capacity, legally, now I'm speaking legally, to start to privatize again everything. Because the constitution of 1976, even though I don't like too much, I don't like laws, I don't like constitutions, but in Portugal, even though it's very important, because the constitution of 1976, it's a very beautiful text. It starts with Portugal is a country who marches on the direction of socialism. Education must be free, freedom must be free, etc., etc. So the text is very, it has a very political meaning and assures us lots that the conquests made in 1975, 74, 75 will endure. But Cavaco Silva, more or less fascist, liberal, is going to change the constitution, change the laws, and one of the first thing that he's going to do, they start to privatize the banks. So these families, the owners of Portugal, since the 19th century war in Brazil, come back again. So the state sells them the banks on very cheap prices. Okay, for example, I can tell you the case of Champalimau. Now he died, but in the 80s, or sorry, in the 90s, where, you know, how did he buy the bank? He bought the bank So he was client on the Espírito Santo bank. Yeah, Holy Spirit. Yeah. He was a client of that bank. Okay. And when he makes the business, okay, he didn't have the money. He didn't have the money to buy it. But what he's going to write a check. Okay. He writes the check of the account of the Espírito Santo. He signs. Now I'm the owner of the bank. This was on a Friday afternoon. The state is going to reclaim the money only on Monday. He said, yeah, but you don't have the money. Yeah, but now I'm the president and I order you to pay. And this is how to buy a bank, if you have friends. Okay? You want to try with the Austrian banks? Maybe. So with crazy businesses like this, the bourgeoisie, the Portuguese bourgeoisie, starts to find the conditions to be strong again. Also, the very big groups, the strategic sectors in Portugal and in capitalist societies are also, for example, especially in Portugal, building. Okay? Building is really important in Portugal, because of speculation. And the state, what the state is going to do, they are going to build infrastructure. So they are the ones who are going to prepare the ground, okay? They are the ones who are going to put the electric facilities, water facilities. They are going to prepare everything. You only have to put here is the bricks, okay? And like this, between 1991 and 2010, Portugal grows as each year 80,000 new houses. We are 10 million inhabitants, so... What's happening, you can imagine nowadays, that we have more houses than human beings. And this is very good for speculation, gentrification, etc. But I think this is nothing new to you. No? Also, very important, especially in a country who has more or less 12% of the people working in agriculture, the ones, intermediates, were sure the transport of food. Okay, because here is the business. No? They are the ones who are going to pay the agricultures the price of their own products, but they are the ones who decide the price of the products, because they are the same that own the main supermarkets in Portugal. And I remember also it was in the 90s that the big supermarkets start to appear. What is curious is that these supermarkets, Portuguese, now with the crisis, they say, yeah, help Portugal, buy Portuguese, no? So buy in our supermarket. The thing is that they don't pay taxes in Portugal. They pay in Holland. They have their headquarters legally in Holland, where they only pay 6%. But they operate in Portugal. Okay? Of course, there are other taxes that they pay, but... compared to the profits, they only pay it in Holland. So then we also have the euro. No, Portugal joins the European currency. No, the euro. We also have the Euro Football Championship in 2004, where the state is going to put the biggest part of the money to build 10 new stadiums. For the football companies, they used to be called teams, but now corporations. No, in Portugal you have, now they exist in the stock exchange market. Yeah, they are called Sport Anonymous Societies. They maintain the names, FC or something like this, football club, but they are also part, of the system. So, this is how the basically, in a resume, of course, the state gives again all the conditions for the bourgeoisie to reinstall it itself. So, we have many governments, but Portugal always had in the parliament a tradition of first the Socialist Party. When people are fed up with the Socialist Party, we have very shallow memory, so we are going to vote for the Social Democrats, but when we are fed up of the social, like here, no, nothing new. We also have the Communist Party in the parliament with 11%, And there is also a recent party with 15 years old that come from the Trotskyists, ex-pro Albanian Maoists, and
in parliament.
Sorry?
They're in parliament.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a coalition. they are the same thing of Syriza in Greece, or Die Linke in Germany. Okay. And it's, well, in Portugal, supposed to be a new hope for the population. There was a time they had big votes, 16 deputies in the parliament of 230. And then I will talk more things when I talk about the social movement, because it's also important. So what happens is that the last government of the Socialist Party in the 2011, already applying austerity measures because of the 2008 crisis, okay, it starts already to apply austerity measures. So basically it's attacking the workers' rights, attacking social services, attacking health system, attacking education, attacking everything. But the rhythm is going to raise in 2011. The Prime Minister is going to open the doors for the external intervention, we call the Troika. So it's the IMF, the European Commission, and the Central Bank, European Central Bank. So these nice people, what they do in Portugal is that they arrive, no, and they say, okay, we'll lend you money on 85-86% interest in Portugal that we have to pay them. So it's strange, no, that they lend us money with 80.6 to pay our debt. But the Portuguese banks also lend money to Frankfurt under interest of 2.5%. Good business.
Better business. Oh.
Yeah, it's simply like this. It's simply like this. So what happens is that the message spread by the media, by the government, so almost everywhere, almost hegemonic, is that, well, we are under crisis, we are a poor country, so we have to be patient, because these guys know what to do. We assure you that in 2015, we are going to start to get better. And the media, they have an interesting role in this, because they say, today the government cut, today this, today that. But then, suddenly, this rating agency called Fitch says that Portugal will have a raise in the next year. So, and then the minister says, yeah, yeah, you see, we are going on it. So, what happens? And then, if you want to know, this is the resume of the austerity measures in education, health, work, etc., etc. As you can see, it's too much. What happens is that the strategic, for example, so under this message, we are being attacked everywhere. So the Troika arrives to Portugal each 6 months. They go there. They have a meeting with the government, now right wing, okay? And they say, okay, now you are going to cut here, 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 here. And then they announce the program of the IMF. And then some months later, they have the new package of cuts. But especially the government, right-wing government, who represents this wounded bourgeoisie by the revolution, wants the ideological revenge. So if the IMF says, cut one end, they say, yeah, I will cut the end and the arm. They say, you cut 7% on education. And they will say, we will cut 7% and we are going to fire, for example, 40,000 teachers, as they did, under 140,000, for example. So, this ideological revenge that they want to, they are also doing it in Portugal. So, comrades, we are not in very good conditions. This, at the beginning, was so positive. I saw some eyes shining when I was telling the revolution. Now everybody is with a heavy look. but it's reality. It's reality. It's the times are not so good, because the social movement is not responding as it should be. And then I can talk about it. But Well, at least I'm always optimistic. I think there are waiting for us more, a few more years of holding this thing against us, okay? But I'm positive because this is the way I want to finish. Especially this symbolic night, 40 years ago. We were always very pessimistic 40 years ago, and look what happened. From an unprepared population. So, I don't know, maybe this night. I doubt it, but I think it's going to be in more, honestly, from my perspective, it's going to be in more years, but I hope that we are going to sing Grandola Vila Morena again, but this time to stay and maybe change the anthem of Portugal, even though I'm not nationalist. No, I'm okay, so now if you want to make questions, if you want to know the cuts, if you want to know how is the social movement.
Grandola Vila Morena, terra da fraternidade, o povo é quem mais ordena, dentro de ti a cidade, dentro de ti a cidade, o povo é quem mais ordena, terra da fraternidade, Grandola Vila Morena. Em cada esquina um amigo, em cada rosto igualdade, Grandola Vila Morena, terra da fraternidade, terra da fraternidade, Grandola Vila Morena. À sombra de uma azinheira que já não sabia a idade, jurei ter por companheira Grandola a tua vontade, Grandola a tua vontade, jurei ter por companheira à sombra de uma azinheira que já não sabia a idade.